Let's bow our heads in prayer as we prepare for today's message. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be acceptable to you, for you are a rock and our redeemer, and you are the one who provides us with guidance and wisdom that we can't do without. In the name of Jesus, amen. Today I end a two-week series on the book of Habakkuk, and it's a book in the Old Testament. It's one of the minor prophets, and the difference between this minor prophet's book and the book of other minor prophets is that the other minor prophets usually spoke to a community, and it was words of warning of what was going to happen if they didn't change their behavior. So community, listen to me. But Habakkuk is a little different because in his book, what he does is he shares his own personal experience, his own personal conversation that he had with God. And so he allows himself to be vulnerable. And so that message continues and is for us to this very day as he shares about his faith and what it meant to be journeying or going into a time of wilderness experience in his life. I hope that there are two takeaways for us as we finalize this time of looking at Habakkuk. And the first one would be is that whenever life feels like a wilderness, times changing, lots of uncertainty, that we can remember that message from Habakkuk of where we can find our stability and our strength. Habakkuk tells us that. But the other takeaway, I hope, is that all of you can even pronounce that name of that book. And so I've tried to make some fun of it to be kind of reminders for all of us of how to pronounce it. So I said, first of all, I've had a cat that had problems with fur balls, and so when he'd cough it up, Habakkuk is what it sounded like to me. And then also if we just kind of slur tobacco to tobacco, we're almost like Habakkuk. So I invite all of you so that we can have some practice, so that you have this takeaway down for sure. One, all together, one, two, three, Habakkuk. One, two, three. Oh my gosh, you guys are pros. Habakkuk, you can't forget. Like I said, this book of the Bible is Habakkuk's experience as in his own personal life, he knew that he and his fellow Israelites were going to enter into a difficult time, into what is what I call a wilderness of life, a transition. And his own personal story happened about 600 AD when they all knew that the Assyrians had been the superpowers, but suddenly Babylonians were taking over and they were becoming the superpower. And the Babylonians were just as evil as the Assyrians in that they didn't care who they took captives. They took anybody they want. They didn't care what stuff they had, if it was riches to them or plunder to them. They took them. They just basically rolled over all the people. And they knew, and Habakkuk and the Israelites knew how evil they were. So they see this coming that, oh, Babylonians are in power. They're going to come and try to take over us. And so Habakkuk calls out to God, you know, help me. All these evil Babylonians are going to come in and they're going to try to take us over. God says he sees what's going on. He knows that. But what he also says is he had concerns. And he had concerns about his own people, the Israelites, because the people were becoming corrupt. There was violence. There were all kinds of fights. There were a lot of ungodliness. And really, it was a bit like our world today. There were bad people doing bad things to good people, and even good people were not so good. So God was saying to Habakkuk, these people that I love, they're becoming increasingly wicked. And for your own good, basically, I'm going to punish you. And what you need to understand is that I am going to use far worse people, those who are more evil than you, to destroy you so that ultimately you come back to me. So Habakkuk realized that he and his people were headed for a very difficult period of time. So Habakkuk records this experience, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, which I like to consider a description of three stages of a faith process. To me, chapter 1 faith, as Habakkuk does in this book, is a time that we cry out to God, that we wail, that we say, cry out and say, you know, it's just not fair. God, you're unfair, and ask all kinds of questions. That's chapter 1 faith. Chapter 2 faith to me is, why are all these things happening? And it's that kind of time when we're waiting and we're walking through the wilderness and those times are difficult. Why are these things happening? And we'll talk about how we use that chapter 2 kind of time. And chapter 3 is the just shall live by faith. That working through chapter 1 and chapter 2, you realize how much and how wonderful God is, how much you need him. And then you have this chapter three kind of faith. And what I said last week, one thing is that the thing about experiencing and having this kind of chapter three faith, most often it takes us to go through a chapter one and chapter two kinds of experience in wilderness so that we can ultimately have this kind of experience and relationship with God. One more thing I want us to remember when we hear that word Habakkuk, translated into English, Habakkuk means to wrestle and to embrace. So what Habakkuk's name even reminds us that there are times in our lives when we need to wrestle with God because we don't quite understand what's going on. We don't quite understand how to respond and be faithful in the midst. But in his name, he says, what it means is you need to embrace. No matter what is going on, you need to be embracing God in the midst. And if you just hang on to the one stability, you'll find this chapter three kind of a faith that Habakkuk describes in chapter three of his book. A sidebar I always like to say about a wilderness kind of experience. Sometimes we talk about wilderness as being difficult times, maybe going through a serious illness, recovering from an accident, difficult things. And those certainly are wilderness times in our lives. But I always like to propose that remember that wilderness experiences can also be positive times, because I also think it's really about transition. Positive times, I think a wilderness can be when a couple gets married. I think a wilderness time can be when a couple has a baby. I think a wilderness kind of time is when we have job or career kinds of transitions. I think it's any time that the circumstance is changing and life is different, that I think those are the times that we enter into a wilderness. Chapter one faith is that entering into that wilderness. When we cry out with God with these questions because we're scared, we're afraid, we're uncertain. So we cry out and look for God. And I think that what is significant for us to remember is that crying out is okay. In fact, it's good. And to complain to God is okay. But I think where we have the potential of crossing over and not being able to get to a faithful kind of chapter two experience is when our complaining becomes grumbling. Because what happens when we begin to grumble, is a little bit more negative, and it begins to become a downward spiral, vicious cycle. And sometimes when we're stuck there, it's hard to pull ourselves back out of that experience. So go ahead and complain, but be careful if it becomes grumbling. I'd like to share with you, as at the end of chapter one, is Habakkuk is just entering out of his crying time into his waiting time. And listen to what he says to us. Chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am going to give this complaint. Do you see the key word in there is watch? And this kind of watching that he's talking about is to use all of our senses. Keep your eyes open. Keep your ears open. Be aware. Pay attention. Think about this. He's going to watch fully with all his presence, all of the ways that he can. And so the Lord replied to him in verse 2 to that statement. Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. Hear that word, those words. Wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, what God says to Habakkuk here is, I want you to, yeah, you're right, I need you to wait. And I need you to slow down. And I need you to fully, with all your senses, pay attention to this experience. Because what God says is, I'm in the middle. I'm there working with you. I'm there providing for you. But I need you to be looking for me in the midst and not look only to circumstances that could consume you. And God says, not only that, then I want you to be writing it down. I don't want you to forget this experience. Write it down so that you will always remember. Oftentimes I'll say the beauty of a prayer journal is that as you're praying over something that perhaps it's on your heart, you write it down. And then maybe 6 months or a year, you go back and you look at it, and what do you see? Oh my gosh. When I look back, I realize how God was working in and through that circumstance for me and making a difference in my life. Write it down. And not only write it down for yourself, but also write it down so that you will remember and that you will share your experiences with other people, because God intends these to be experiences that we can share with others. How often is it helpful when someone has gone through one kind of experience and they hear someone going through a very similar kind of experience, that kind of sharing and that kind of connection is significant, and that's what God wanted to happen, wants to come out of our wildernesses. I'd like to share with you a video that I set with a church member, Marie Henderson, earlier this week. And all of you know her, at least a little bit, if you've paused and you've looked at the artwork that's on the wall in the gathering place now. That's artwork by Marie Henderson. And it's, that artwork has become for her an artistic expression of how she has moved through her life experience, this wilderness that she will share with us. And in knowing her and her journey for 4 years, I can say that we've talked about and we've seen her move through a chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3 faith. Will you watch with me?
Well, about 4 years ago, I was a very active principal and putting in those 14, 16-hour days that many people do in their jobs and going to church on Sundays and participating in church. And all of a sudden, little before Christmas, I ended up with a pain, saw a doctor, told I was fine, then told that there could be something wrong, and found out shortly before Christmas that I, in fact, had late-stage ovarian cancer and had to prepare for surgery Christmas Eve, Eve of 2011, not knowing what the future was going to bring. My husband had suggested that maybe I should take an art class, and that might be a way of expressing how I was feeling, because I'm not one to yell and scream, and there was an awful lot of emotion inside of me, and I didn't really know what to do with that, and so I started painting. It became such a release to me that then I began doing a lot of painting. Some of my pieces were light and pretty, like this. And some of my pieces weren't, depending on where things were and how I was feeling. It was a way for me to connect with God in a way that was very, very different than I was used to. I had loved being a principal. It was what I did. It was who I was. And to be told by my doctor that essentially my job was killing me, I couldn't imagine that God was asking me to walk away from what I felt He had prepared me for so many years, and that I had been successful doing. I had to come to a point where I either said, God, I trust you, or go down a black hole that I don't think anyone comes back from. And it did not look as though things were going to get better. You have to be willing to jump off the cliff and know that that net is going to be there, or that parachute. And I think for some people, like for me, it had to be no other choice. I mean, I had to jump off that cliff, and I either had to believe that it was going to be okay and that God was going to meet me there, or I had to believe that I was going to smash on the rocks below, and that just wasn't an option for me. That wasn't the faith that I believed in. That wasn't the God I believed in. But I didn't know why cancer would be the choice to strengthen my faith.
I believe what Marie says to us is that, you know, she knew she had this wailing to do, this chapter one kind of experience, and so she chose this artistic way to put this on to a canvas. And then as she moved through her experience, her artwork has changed and evolved. In the wilderness, we're brought to our knees, and it's a time when we're humbled. It's in the wilderness that oftentimes it seems like that everything is being taken away from us, our success, our confidence, our ability to make sense of our world, and our finances and changes in family and friends. And so it's at those moments when we feel that we have nothing and we have no one that we can even depend upon, that it's when we begin to discover that the one thing that is always enough is God. And James, in his book in the New Testament, in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, says this to us: My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith develops patience. But let patience perfect its work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And the only way James knew that we could become complete, lacking nothing, is if we learned humbly what it means to fully depend on the one true constant. One of the ways that God works in our lives to bring us closer, not only he wants us to be closer to him, is that he wants us to draw closer to other people because he wants us to know that relationships are important when we're in the wilderness. In the wilderness, God will work through people you know, but he'll also bring people you don't know into your life because God works through people. So living in community is what Scripture tells us is an important component of the way to work through these wilderness kinds of times. Even Jesus took three disciples to be with him when he wrestled and he prayed in the garden. And in Scripture, it says he wrestled. And I think, my goodness, what a connection with the name Habakkuk as he says to wrestle and to embrace. Jesus wrestled, but he also embraced God in the midst of his experience. We see this again in Hebrews 13, verse 2. In these scriptures, we're reminded, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. We are reminded that God does indeed bring these angels into our life and in our experience, and we're to be looking for them, and we are to be realizing when these people come into our lives that they truly are angels. And I can't tell you how often I sit with persons or experience with persons, for example, auto accidents or other those kinds of experience, and in their stories will be, as I was in that car, not sure what had just happened or what had happened to me or what was going to happen, there was this angel that appeared at the door, an angel that often appears in the body of another person, but it's God in the wilderness. We have to be careful when we're in the wilderness that, as I say, God provides through people, but also in the midst of a wilderness, there certainly are wrong kinds of people that can come into those experiences and try to influence us. We see this in Scripture when the Israelites were leaving Egypt. And there were also others who left Egypt with the Israelites, but who were not Israelites, but they had been mistreated and oppressed by the Egyptians, so they saw this as an opportunity for their exodus, so they would escape as well with the Israelites. Because no one was standing at the gates as they were leaving, checking any kinds of papers, to determine who was an Israelite or not, just people who wanted to get out, got out. And the Bible refers to these people as the rabble. And they were people who did not worship God of Israel, and they didn't want to learn his ways or his laws, but they traveled and they camped along with the Israelites during their journey. And in Numbers 11, we read, the rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, if we'd only had meat to eat, we never see anything but this manna. And when we study this and we back and try to understand what was going on, we can see the influence, the negative influence of the rabble, just continuing to perpetuate the complaining to grumbling and missing the fact that God was providing in the midst of their wilderness. The Israelites wandered that desert for 40 years because they'd made some wrong turns spiritually. They turned away from God's lessons and God's presence, and therefore they spent four decades wandering through this wilderness and waiting. In the wilderness, we do have a choice whether we're going to walk by faith or if we'll walk guided by our feelings. And sometimes our feelings can be another thing that kind of is an obstacle or deters us from what God desires for us to know. Self-pity, pride, oh, I can do it by myself. And false humility, oh, my problems aren't as bad as other people's. But perhaps what difference does that make? They're all wildernesses. It's all times our opportunity for God to work. We grow through these periods of time, not by finding an easy way out or hiding or running, but by facing the experience honestly. And here I want you to hear the message of this sentence. More important than what happens to you is what happens in you. I want you to hear that. More important than what happens to you is what happens in you. When you focus on God, these good things begin to happen in the midst of this experience, and this faith and this strength grows that, like I said, you may never have had if you weren't having this chapter 1 and chapter 2 experience, but it's a real possibility if we are faithful and looking for God in the midst. Focus on your problems, looking at them over and over and over. They'll seem huge, and you will believe that you cannot overcome them. Focus on your inabilities, and you will be limited by all the things you can do. But if you focus on God, you'll only be limited by what God can do through you. And I promise it's so much greater than any other option. So as we move through this chapter 2 kind of wilderness experience and try to practice what I've just shared with you, and if we're successful and if we stay committed, we get to this chapter 3 kind of moment. And chapter 3 is about believing in God and worshiping God, even when you don't even see happening what God had promised. But it's just continuing to believe. And what I think we hear Habakkuk at the end of chapter 2, he's getting it. And he's making this transition from this chapter 2, chapter 3 kind of faith. So the very last verse of chapter 2 says this: "But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. But the Lord." Three significant words: "But the Lord." You know, he knew he'd complained, and he knew he was journeying, but he'd come to the conclusion, "But the Lord, despite all of this, but the Lord." The Lord is in his temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Even though I don't understand, and even though I don't like it, and even though I don't even want to believe that this is what is going to happen, he says, "But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent." Just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, during the ruling of King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, and the king was demanding that they bow down to him, and they refused because they would bow down to no other god than the one true God. So they were thrown in a fiery furnace, certainly a wilderness, certainly an almost sure death for them. But their response, the words they said, and the actions they took were, "But the Lord." Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar, you can demand, "But the Lord." Yeah, you can throw me in a fire furnace, "But the Lord." It didn't matter what the significance of the circumstance was, "But the Lord." It's that chapter 3 kind of faith. Chapter 3 faith stands strong no matter the circumstances. God is bigger than any circumstances, so we can say, "But the Lord." "It's rough, Lord, but the Lord. It seems impossible, but the Lord. There's so much unknown, uncertainty, but the Lord." And we hear this kind of faith as we read chapter 3 of Habakkuk. And I just want to share with you verses 17 to 18. Oh, I hope you hear, "But the Lord. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet," is the word in Bible, "but I say, but the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior." No matter the circumstances, "but the Lord." I asked Marie if she'd noticed some of the changes in her artwork. Early on, this is one of her first paintings when, like she said, she was crying out. Over the years, as she continued, many of her styles had changed. And if you'll see out in the gathering place, many of those pieces have what looks like weaving of paper. She said, "All of a sudden in my journey, I kind of began to practice this weaving of papers." And I say to her, "Could that possibly mean that you were finally facing this chapter 3 kind of faith, and you were realizing that it wasn't about the circumstances, and it wasn't about you alone, but it was about you and God woven together so tightly, that you are finally realizing this chapter 3 kind of faith?" Chapter 3 faith, I would like us to see in another example. I have to tell you, I'm a fan of the television show The Voice. I confess, maybe some of you guys are. And I love the opportunity that persons are offered through this show. And at this particular stage of the show, it's called The Battle. And what happens is that there are two candidates that are put up on stage and singing together, and then the judges decide that one of them basically gets to go on. And in this particular battle a couple weeks ago, Celeste Betton was battling against her other, the other person. Both of them sang wonderfully. And then it was the moment when the judges decided who went on, and her opponent was the one that was decided to go forward to the next stage of this competition. And as we see throughout this experience of these candidates singing, often along the way, they share their personal story of what their life had been like, what had brought them to that moment, and always the hope that the next thing would be for them to keep moving forward, so that perhaps their life would go in a direction that they desired for success and to be able to use their gift and to share their gift. Celeste Betton lost her battle. So she was about to enter a wilderness of grief and just unhappiness at that moment. What I want to share with you is what, in my opinion, in all circumstances of life, what chapter 3 faith can look like. Look what she breaks out into a cappella, spontaneously, chapter 3 faith.
Celeste, anything you'd like to say to Pharrell?
Just thank you. Of course, you want to move on, but, you know, it's not over, so.
No.
Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It's well.
Ladies and gentlemen, a big thank you to Celeste Betton.
Oh my God.
Come here, sweetheart. Steals were vital for me last season because my steal wound up being my top guy. So we'll see what happens.
It's okay. Oh, my goodness. Mommy did her very best, okay?
Chapter 3, Faith, in the midst of a everyday kind of experience. And the final verse of Habakkuk's journey of faith expresses that he would trust in God, not in his abundances or lack thereof, and not in his ability to make sense of his situation, or even that he was seeing a light at the end of the tunnel when life was a wilderness. And all that he had were unanswered questions and a broken spirit. Still, he said he would trust in God and live by faith. But the Lord is what he leaves us with in this final verse. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on to heights. Habakkuk chapter 3, the final verse 19. And the final word he leaves us is, but the Lord. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, all of us experience wildernesses more than one in all kinds of ways in our lives. And Lord, I just pray as we've heard these words from Habakkuk that we can keep them in our heart and just remember that simple message, but the Lord. Amen.